gang. Welcome to another exciting episode of National People Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, RBN, republicbroadcasting.org. It's part two of free speech. Part one was the U.S. Constitution, but that's over. Part two is RBN. That's where you'll find it. So go to republicbroadcasting.org, click on the donate button, send the fundage to 2251 Double Creek, Joshua 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. Phone it into 1-800-724-2719, extension 3. Operators are standing by. All right, so this is part two of the Patrick and Jeremy show. Jeremy, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Patrick, for having me on again.
Thank you for being on again. Okay, so about 45 minutes ago, we were talking about stuff, and then we sent in your show, which will be broadcast. It hasn't been broadcast yet, but it will be broadcast in another 45 minutes or so. And when we left off, you just said something about wanting to talk about Iran. What's up with that?
It has been said, and it has been bantered around in our communities, in our pro-white communities, that Trump could be the perfect president to preside over a war with Iran. So let's get away from this whole they install him, they do this. So Trump gets it, and there are players involved that want conflict with Iran, and they assume that Trump, being a very pro-Israel president, will accommodate that. I guess that's the premise that we're working on. So I want to direct you to this Reuters article that I sent you. Israel now attacking southeastern Lebanon. The first bombardment of eastern Lebanon since regional hostilities erupted following the start of the war in Gaza, marked that genocide in Gaza, occurred in late February. So the strikes in eastern Lebanon occurred in late February. Israeli strikes had been most limited to the southern border region of Lebanon, although they have urged further north in recent weeks, broadening Israel's campaign. So this is in Baalbek specifically. This is where the Temple of Jupiter is located, with the giant monolith stones. I just want to mention this in an aside. This is an ancient foundation that the Romans discovered. They didn't quarry these stones, as far as we know. Some of these stones in the Temple of Jupiter in Baalbek, Lebanon, some of these quarried stones weigh between 800 and 1,600 tons, which is tremendous. That's just a little aside, stuff that I'm interested in, ancient technologies and phenomena such as that. But what I really wanted to focus on is Israel attacking Lebanon, and how we know that, you know, Iran backs Lebanon and Hezbollah. How could this escalate? And how do you think Trump will play a role in this in 2025? Could he be a president that is pushed and sucker punched into supporting a conflict with Iran?
Well, I mean, regarding Trump, and you could say the same thing about Biden and Obama and even Bush. They never did get into a war with Iran. Trump was president for 4 years. He assassinated Soleimani, and Soleimani assassinated between his impeachment and his impeachment trial. According to the Wall Street Journal, which isn't necessarily a reliable source, he did that to curry favor with Republican senators. About 16 or 17 Republican senators had voted against him, he would have been ousted at the beginning of 2020. That's according to the Wall Street Journal. The thing is, the main reason we haven't attacked Iran over the past 25 years or longer is because Iran's a big, strong, serious country. And by the way, the new super weapons are these hypersonic missiles, and Russia developed them first. China has them. Iran has them. Who doesn't have them? The United States doesn't have them. The United States has gotten to the point where, in some technologies, it's falling behind Iran. Iran is not a little third world country. You might say it's a very big third world country, but even then, Iran had pretty developed economy back even in the 60s and 70s. It had it had a fair amount of development. And one thing about American sanctions is American sanctions and Western sanctions often prompt a country like Iran, which Iran could be like Saudi Arabia and just export a whole bunch of oil and buy whatever it needs. But because of the sanctions, it's been forced to develop its own economy. It's been forced to become more autonomous. And if you look at the history of American sanctions against Russia and against Iran, I think in the long run, they've had positive impact on the development of those countries. So they've kind of backfired. Iran is not only is it in its by itself, you know, it's got what, around 90 million people. It's got a lot of educated people, a lot of engineers, a lot of smart people, a fairly developed economy, fairly good technology. And of course, it's got, you know, oil, which certainly helps. They're no pushover, and they're on the other side of the earth. And the United States has, when was the last time it won a war on the other side of the earth? It's been a while. So, and then plus Iran is effectively in a military alliance with Russia and China. So I, you know, Trump was consistently anti-Iran as president, but even being anti-Iran as president and bad-mouthing them consistently, like he bad-mouthed North Korea for a while, but not consistently. He's bad-mouthed China, but not consistently. I really don't recall him ever having a kind word to say about Iran, which is unfortunate. But the American president today and next year, whomever it might be, does not have, they are not the leader of the world the way George W. Bush or H.W. or Clinton. Back in those days, the American president was the leader of the world and could impose his will or impose the Jews' will on the world in a way that presidents moving forward cannot, because the American position in the world is greatly weakened. So that's kind of my response to that.
Right. So a war with Iran is not feasible. It's not practical. But yet, you know, we have Israel attacking Lebanon, Iranian backed. It's in their interest to defend Lebanon. So I'm trying to cut through this rhetoric of, and I even have mentioned it myself, that I felt that Trump may be installed in office to facilitate over a war with Iran. That's a worst case scenario. Maybe a more moderate view is he negotiates, he brings these people to the table. He brings Israel and Iran to the table. That could be feasible. It definitely would be what I would hope for. Nobody wants all-out war. But the case that you're making is that all-out war with Iran is really just not possible without going total World War III nukes and the U.S. loses.
Yeah, that's pretty much what I'm saying. World War III, everybody loses. Short of World War III, the United States is not able to impose itself on Iran. Who are two countries? Like, on one side of Iran, you've got Afghanistan. The other side, you've got Iraq. And these are much smaller countries, much weaker countries. And the United States didn't fare so well in either of those countries. So,
drone technology, the Houthis using drones. I mean, that's not even sophisticated. That's pretty much low level, but still it seems to be an effective strategy in deferring U.S. forces in these areas. So I think probably a more moderate view would be Trump is elected to bring some sort of a peace agreement and negotiate America back into the world stage again, because it's being pushed out. It is pushed out. And as you've mentioned before, Trump's going to, if he gets the reins of power, he's going to be president of a country that is no longer unipolar, and that's going to take a total different dynamic in how we approach things, or how we should approach things anyway.
Trump, by personality, actually, I think would be a better fit for a country that is not the world's only superpower, but one that's in decline. I think he would be a better fit for it. But the thing is, Trump, he's unpredictable. He's also going to be pretty old. I mean, he's going to be turning 80 in office also. So he's born in 1946. So he's going to be elderly. He's going to have a lot of people around him that are going to be have substantial powers delegated to him. And he's never been one for being very good at personnel choices. And for whatever reason, I mean, ironically, he's not one who's good at saying you're fired. You know, and when he does say you're fired, it's the people he shouldn't be firing. You know, he fired Flynn. He fired Jeff Sessions. These were people that he didn't need to fire. And so I don't know. But, yeah, I think he's somebody who doesn't dream of being a war president. He's a deal maker. And but, you know, honestly, I think a lot of things can be settled in a lot of ways around the world without the United States even being involved. But yeah, he might, and for better or for worse, he might be able to get the United States involved in deal making. He might be able to get the United States a seat at the table and being taken seriously. But the United States just isn't going to dominate the world the way it did before. And that is really a good thing. It's because it was a disaster for the American people. It was a disaster to have the United States as the world's only superpower. It's really screwed us up.
And this genocide in Gaza just can't go on, nor can these attacks in Lebanon. So Israel is going to have to be brought to heel. I mean, that is just the bottom line. I don't think any of these superpowers want to risk all-out world war over this little country in the Middle East. That seems to exert its power at will and thinks that it has no consequences. So, yeah, we talked about before Israel and or we talked about before China and Russia. You know, Xi and Putin being the adults in the room to bring this about. Israel is going to have to be brought to heel. What does this look like? Best case scenario, Trump's the president to preside over Israel being brought down to where it needs to be. Because all of Trump's supporters are pro-Israel, and he'll paint it in a way, as he always does, that he's doing things that are good for Israel, right? So that all of the things that he says has a lot of different ways that it can be taken. So he could very easily preside over this, as far as America's concerned, and still retain support.
He could. Actually, even the Democratic administration, the current Democratic administration, where not so much the top foreign policymakers, but their base that they need to appeal to if they're going to have any chance of even a fake election victory, because so much of their base, if you look at recent polls, their base is sympathetic to the Palestinians. They're sympathetic to the Gazans. The younger kids, a lot of them think that Israel should just be handed over to Hamas. And so on the one hand, Trump, Biden and the Biden State Department, the Biden administration feels a pressure that Trump doesn't feel. On the other hand, if you looked at Cold War relations during the Cold War, the presidents who were the most the biggest Cold Warriors that had a reputation as being anti-Soviet, which in particular Nixon and Reagan, the two most anti-communist, anti-Soviet presidents, were the ones who had the most diplomatic breakthroughs. And whereas Jimmy Carter really couldn't, he couldn't, because the thing is, if Jimmy Carter got too friendly with the Soviets, then he would be accused of being soft on communism. Just like Trump, he couldn't get friendly with Putin because he would be accused of being a Putin puppet. Trump being having a reputation as being really kind to Israel, being real pro-Israel, which I don't think it's really it's really heartfelt, honestly. But because he's got this reputation, he might be able to get away with more. When I say get away with more, he might be able to be harsher to Israel because he's less likely to be accused of selling out Israel. Oh, you see, he was an anti-Semite all along. Maybe. I mean, for the Democrats, Biden is already under a lot of criticism, saying that he's too close to Hamas and all this, which is nonsense. But it's just the way our politics runs. By the way, I read just earlier today that Bernie Sanders, I guess Bernie Sanders and some of the other, the only one who was mentioned in the article was Sanders, but it said that some Democratic senators are pushing the Biden administration to be, I guess, less supportive of Israel or more supportive of humanitarian aid or whatever. So you got that. And Bernie, not a surprise. And being Jewish, he's able to get away with more without being called anti-Semite.
Yeah, so I see your correlation in the same way that Reagan and Nixon were more, they had more cover. Is that the word? They had cover.
Yeah, right? They were less vulnerable to being called soft on communism.
If they negotiated with Russia, similarly, Trump has a lot of cover, being known as a very pro-Zionist president. And he certainly wouldn't lose any supporters. He could be harsh on Israel and paint it any way that he wants to, and supporters would still be there. Whereas, whereas Biden and the Democrats, they're just hemorrhaging supporters tremendously. So, the Biden administration, their only way out of this and to win the election, of course, would be to go hard on Israel, to support their base, and then do a bunch of mail-in ballots, and maybe they could take it. But outside of that, they're done.
So, I mean, they're in trouble because and the thing is, Biden, in the State of the Union, he said, I challenge any of you to be more pro-Israel than me. Nobody's been more pro-Israel than me. And, as a senator for 50 years, the past 50 years, he's been pro-Israel. That's true. But his base isn't. And he's criticized. He's unfairly, I think, but he's criticized for not standing with Israel enough. He went straight over to Israel. Now he's bragging, "Oh, I'm the first American president to go to Israel in wartime." He's in a difficult position. Trump is in a position where he can, just by not saying very much, the less he says, the better. And so that's why he keeps riffing on, "This would have never happened. This would have never happened if I'd been president. It would have never happened," without going into any details about why. He doesn't do that. And the less he says, the better for him. He loses nothing by allowing his boomer and evangelical supporters to think that he stands with Israel. He doesn't even have to say, "I stand with Israel." He loses nothing by them assuming that. And he really doesn't gain much by coming out as sympathetic to Gazans. He doesn't really gain much, even if he is, or even if he's pissed off at Netanyahu or pissed off at the Jews in general. He doesn't gain anything because these blue-haired people aren't going to vote for him anyway. And some Arab Americans would, but there's not that many of them. So he doesn't have much to gain. He has a lot to lose by the more he says, so I think he's just going to be very,
a man who leads a life of danger. To everyone he meets, he stays a stranger. Every move he makes, another chance he takes. The odds are he won't live to see tomorrow. Secret agent man, secret agent man. They've given you a number and check it.
Yeah, he Debo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
Consider this. Dead people see only what they want to see. And frankly, most of us are still dead. Let me give you the lessons of gold and five easy lessons. Number one, don't buy it because you need to make money. You buy gold because you need to protect the money you already have. Don't ever look at the price as a barrier. Look at it as an incentive. Number three, don't buy its paper pretenders. We talked about that a lot. Buy gold. Buy the real thing in the form of coins and bullion. Fourth, don't fall prey to glitzy television or Facebook ads. Do your due diligence instead. And that's what I try to provide you with and have for 26 and a half years on the air. And 30 years in this profession. Fifth, don't allow naysayers to divert your interest. Allow yourself the right to protect your interests as you see fit. Jeff Bennett here. One of the ways you can do that is to contact Kettle Moraine Limited. Contact me by calling or texting me at 602-799-8214. 602-799-8214. You can also email me at kettlemoraineltd@cox.net. Let me help you protect your wealth and your family today. Once again, call or text us at 602-799-8214 or visit our website, SierraMadrePreciousMetals.com. Be glad to help you out. Be glad to answer your questions. That's what we're here for. No pressure, just good, hard, common sense. The decision then becomes up to you.
Agent man, they've given you a number, and they've taken away your name.
So he doesn't have much to gain. He has a lot to lose by the more he says, the, you know, so I think he's just going to be very non-committal or vague. He's just going to be extremely vague, which is something he does a lot. He's good at being vague.
So on the flip side of this, we've got the Ukrainian conflict. Now, I think going into this election, we have four major things going on here that affect the election: the Israeli genocide of Palestinians, the Ukraine Russia conflict, and then you have immigration, which is huge. I would say that's a strong number two or number three, maybe number two. But fourthly, the economy. I'm going to put the economy as fourth. You can push back if you want to, but I mentioned this Ukraine debacle because, so apparently Trump has met with Viktor Orban. They met in Florida, as a matter of fact. And Orban is painting Trump as a pro-peace president who will end the war in Ukraine by drying up support for it. That's interesting. And that's not surprising because Trump's base really hasn't supported the Ukraine war. They're more Israel supporters, right? It's just fascinating that support for the Ukraine has been a leftist thing, if you want to do the whole left-right thing, or a Democrat thing. And support for Israel has been more of a Republican right-wing Trump-based thing. So here Orban solidifying this. What do you got on this? Trump being painted as Orban, and Orban really just praising him as being the one that could bring this conflict to an end in Ukraine.
Yeah, and honestly, I don't think that, I mean, both with Israel and with Ukraine, I see, with Ukraine in particular, how can it keep going on for another year? So there was a Guardian article that I was looking at between our two shows that was saying so there's some magazine in France called Marianne, and I guess Marianne is like Lady Liberty in France. They have got some cartoon character Marianne, and there's an article saying that there are reports. They were supposed to be classified reports by, I guess, French intelligence, you know, the French intelligence agencies. And these reports are from last autumn, so they're from half a year ago, saying that Ukraine, they did so horribly in that summer counteroffensive that there's no way that they can beat Russia militarily. It said that if French troops were to try to go over there and fight the Russians, it would be like sending a team of cheerleaders to fight a real army. And Macron's freaking out because this is getting leaked. So I just don't see how the Ukraine, of course, I've probably been saying that something similar to that. I don't see how much longer it can go on. It does go on. I'm amazed at how long Ukrainians themselves have been willing to have been tolerant of seeing so many of their young men just get slaughtered. And one of the things that this leaked French report said is the Ukrainians just don't have any more men. They even drafting men, they just can't get the personnel. Somebody made the comment, we can send over 3D printers to print weapons for them, but we can't print any more people for them. They just don't exist. And, you know, with Israel, honestly, like, Israel is small. Its army is small numerically. Like, it's got pretty much the entire adult population in the reserves, but, you know, they're not real soldiers. And it's surrounded by massive countries with massive populations. So Iran's got 90 million. Egypt's got like 110 million. And Turkey, which could jump into this, is close to 100 million. It's surrounded by very big, huge countries that have serious, in some cases, have serious militaries. I don't know if Egypt is so serious, but Iran and Turkey certainly are. And even like Hezbollah, which is just a large militia, Israel would have its hands full simply with Hezbollah. I just don't see how much longer this can go on. It's such a bad look for Israel. The thing is, Israel does have nuclear weapons, and it cannot use the nuclear weapons against Hamas because they're too close, right? You really can't. I mean, if you're the mayor of Philadelphia, you can't you really can't nuke Camden. Israel is the size of New Jersey, right? And if you're New Jersey, you're not going to nuke New York City or Philadelphia because, you know, that's you've got suburbs there, right? But the Israeli nukes do freak out the rest of the world. They could use the nukes, you know, not just trying to use nukes against Iran, who would probably retaliate, but they could use the nukes against Italy and Germany and France and England, who wouldn't retaliate because that would be anti-Semitic. You can't do that. You know, it was an accident, Goy. These just went off by accident. And I think that the reason Israel gets away with so much is not simply because it's got a lot of powerful people who are running a lot of the Western countries, but also because there's legitimate fear of Israel just doing the Samson on.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Hi, Tom Bolton for Ease Off. I know so many of you are finding our Easy 4 carcass drop and lift an essential tool for your meat processing operation, but today I want to spotlight four of our new products. First, our right height hog cradles with steel or aluminum frames. Our customers love this back-saving innovation that enhances sanitation and speeds production. Next, our beef cradles with stainless steel or aluminum frames eliminate rust and corrosion. We hope you'll compare our quality and prices for this essential part of your processing line. Our cradles are especially effective when used with our power skinner. And finally, our hook tumbler will keep your hooks clean and polished. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects.
Email Tom at republicbroadcasting.org, T-O-M at republicbroadcasting.org.
A lot of powerful people who are running a lot of the Western countries, but also because there's legitimate fear of Israel just doing the Samson option and saying, okay, if our government's going down, we're taking the world with us. We're going to take these cities with us. And so I think people are trying to play it very, very carefully, that it's very delicate. And that's that. And unfortunately, that means tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands of martyred Gazans and Palestinians, and they're being martyred. But you know, you look at somebody like Putin, the Russians in particular, who in each of the they were the biggest they lost more people than any other country on earth in those two world wars, and they don't want a world war. And so they're, you know, you can look at them and say, wow, why are they allowing 30 or 40 or 50,000 of their own soldiers to die? And why are they allowing a 500,000 Ukrainians or whatever it is to die? Well, it's because it's not 20 million and it's not 25 million, which is their experiences from the previous wars. So, you know, tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands of deaths from an American perspective, and Americans have never really experienced war the way the Russians have. That seems horrific. But from the Russian point of view, this is better than what they're used to. So That's all I'll say for now.
It's interesting how Trump's rhetoric is still affecting U.S. policy. Even this Guardian article, that we're referencing of Trump's meeting with Orban, they're accusing Trump and his allies in Congress as responsible for holding up this aid to Ukraine, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, and then even his rhetoric is, the GOP in the House are talking about doing this as a loan rather than just giving it, which we know is all nonsense. It's BS, but still, this man, Trump, is affecting U.S. policy even outside of the office. That's mm-hmm. very phenomenal. I guess these GOP types are fearful of their own constituents to a point, even more so than the donors that keep them in office. So I think there's something to that just the rhetoric of Trump is affecting policy in the U.S. How much more so if he, took office in 25, and what sort of rhetoric could he put out about Israel and try to bring that situation to heel?
Yeah, we haven't had a situation like this where you have a leader of the opposition who is so influential and seems like somebody on the verge of taking over, certainly not in my lifetime. I don't know what things were like in 1912 when former President Teddy Roosevelt was running to move back into the office, into the White House. But you've never had this. Here we are. It's just the beginning of March. It's still the first half of March, and Trump doesn't have any primary opponents. When was the last time you had anything like that? Even when Al Gore was the vice president, he still had serious primary opponents. He had Senator Bill Bradley. He wasn't a shoo-in, and of course, that was 2000, and nobody cared about anything in 2000. There weren't any big issues. And it's not like everybody was looking at Al Gore as the leader of the opposition. In fact, he was a sitting vice president. What was he opposed to? You just haven't had that. Trump being the presumptive nominee for so long, being a former president, and having so many people thinking he was cheated, that he's actually the rightful president, that he won the last election. I mean, virtually, I'm sure the substantial majority of his supporters think he won the last election anyway. So this is just completely unprecedented, and Trump's in a position to maybe even have more influence now than he did when he was president. Because when he was president, there were periods where he just wasn't able to get his way on anything, and the only way he could get his way on anything would be by changing his policy to what the opposition wanted his policy to be, which that's not really getting your way. So it's really chaotic. And then, of course, at the same time, you've got an unprecedentedly strong opposition candidate. You've got an unprecedentedly weak incumbent seeking reelection. So it is this bizarre situation where America kind of effectively now has two leaders. It's got Biden and it's got Trump. And Viktor Orban comes over. Is he spending time with the president? No, he's spending time with Biden. Nobody came over from Europe to hang out with Michael Dukakis when Michael Dukakis was running for president. I'm just saying.
And I think the situation you're describing is why a lot of people in our circles, the pro-white, white nationalist circles, are saying that Trump is controlled and he's going to be installed. Because their logic is, well, surely the Jews would try to primary him or stop him. So the fact that they're not, and there's not this concerted effort against him.
Well, they tried. I mean, that was Nikki Haley.
Yeah.
Probably was Ron DeSantis.
Okay, so your premise is that Nikki Haley and Ron DeSantis were the Jewish picks to go against him, and they failed.
Yeah. Now, so they failed. I think now, to an extent, there's a lot of Jews are going to be pushing for vice presidential candidates that they like. And, of course, if you get somebody like Nikki Haley or Elise Stefaniak, who's a congresswoman who's high on the list, or even Kristi Noem, these could be assassination bait for Trump. I mean, Trump's got to be very, very careful, because if it's his heartbeat, if the only thing that separates somebody like some Zio whore vice president. If the only thing that is keeping them out of the White House is Trump's heartbeat, then Trump's got a problem. He's got to be very, very careful with this.
If we cut through all of the conspiracy stuff that Trump is being installed, then we see just at face value a situation where we have Trump, a loose cannon, who has Jewish hooks in him, who is able to be broadsided and manipulated. That's been demonstrated. But we have this loose cannon, this unpredictable person, and right-wing and left-wing Jewish faction of power are vying over control of him. I would call right-wing slivers Steinleitians that want to bring America back to like the 1980s, and the establishment Jews who want to just go full kamikaze, you know, cash in your chips. These two factions are vying for who now is going to take control of this man. I think that's what we're looking at face value. If we cut through all of the deep conspiracy 4D chess stuff installed, you know, Trump is installed. You know, because you can see where someone would say, well, yeah, Trump's being installed because look at how the opposition is just falling in front of him, right? That's where they're coming from.
Yeah, I mean, I have nothing really to say to people who just are going to say everything's controlled. I'm probably not being fair, but there is a mindset that goes as two or three tenets to it. Everything is planned. That's tenet number one. Everything is planned.
But what I'm proposing is that at face value we have a loose cannon and Jewish power on both sides and of all angles are trying to see who can, you know, get in with this guy and manipulate him.
Mm-hmm. Well, and he's been manipulated in the past. I think anybody who I guess it's conceivable. Like, I guess if you're writing a novel, it's conceivable you could have somebody like Nick Fuentes, or, you know, somebody who comes from a dissident career path and rises and eventually becomes leader, a dissident. That can happen. And they don't know. I mean, some, like in Poland, you had Lech Walesa, and I don't even know if it was worth it. But I think a more likely scenario, if you're looking for somebody who turns a country around, it might be more like a Putin, where Putin, I don't know what Putin was thinking in the 1990s. I don't know what he was thinking. I don't know what he was thinking in the early 2000s. So I don't know if he was thinking, I'm just gonna play the game until I've solidified power, and then I'm gonna save Russia. I don't know if that's what he was thinking, or if he was just once he got into power, he had a change of heart about things. You know, maybe he thought, yeah, I'm going to serve the powers that be, and that's fine. And then he got into power and for one reason or another decided he was going to rock the boat. But he's not somebody who comes from a dissident past. And I think one of the points I was making in the part one was, if anything, Putin represented the pro-Western perspective in Russia. He was in the Russian spectrum, he was relatively pro-Western. But, you know, in a lot of ways, he certainly did not meet the expectations. The people who helped him get into power in the late 1990s, he let them down. And so if we're ever going to have somebody who is, well, they call Putin a savior. In Russia, he's known as a savior. If we're ever going to have a savior, is it more likely to be somebody who was an opposition dissident figure his entire career and manages to get into office through his own force of personality or whatever? Or is it going to be somebody who keeps his cards close to the vest, and then once he gets in, then he bites the hand that fed him? I don't know. I think actually the latter is more likely. And then you never know who that person's going to be.
Putin came into power with a way more military and I would argue political experience than Trump. I mean, Trump is just a showman. He's a businessman. We see where his strengths are. His strengths are in campaign Trump. His weaknesses are in Governor Trump. And that was displayed for the whole world to see. So as the federal government is looking to collapse, you know, who to lead them out of this, I guess Trump is all we have. I guess we have to play the cards that we've been dealt, huh?
So,
yeah. One of my points being is that Trump and Putin are two sort of totally different people.
Yeah. They're different people. They have very different experiences. Oh, we're likely to have a choice between Trump and Biden. You could have Biden drop out or be nudged out, and it could be Gavin Hansom or somebody. And with Trump, I mean, unless Trump, something happens to him, Trump's going to be in the election. And those are the choices we're going to have. There are three other candidates who are getting a lot of attention, Jill Stein and Cornel West, and especially Robert F. Kennedy Jr. They're going to play a very important role. But none of them, splitting the Democrats. I guess there could possibly be scenarios where Kennedy takes off, because I'm surprised to see him consistently getting in, you know, more than 10% in polls, which is pretty remarkable.
Well, we are facing something totally new coming into 25, with Russia and China being dominant, and the U.S. not being the unipolar power that it has been for, you know, since the collapse of the Soviet Union. And I wanted to throw this article at you from Reuters. United States faces increasingly fragile, dare I say, world order, according to spies from the U.S. They're using the term world order. I wasn't using it. And so they're hitting on some things that we've been talking about for a while, that the country is facing an increasingly fragile world order, strained by great power competition. And, you know, they're talking about the U.S. being in the backdrop, and Russia and China being in the forefront in this emerging new world order. I've got to use it. It is really, isn't it? Isn't it a new world order?
I've been saying international order as opposed to world order, just so I don't go there.
Exactly. But it's just funny that this article is hitting on stuff that we've been talking about. And they're finally, you know, bringing that to the forefront. So, yeah, whoever is in charge of the United States in 2025 is going to be facing a totally new scenario, something that's unprecedented, I would say. Mm-hmm. The U.S. empire has never faced this.
And I think in a lot of ways, Trump, possibly, he could play a pretty constructive role. So, for instance, he was talking very recently, and he said some things that he had said 8 years ago, the same things he said 8 years ago, talking about Japan, that, you know, Japan shouldn't rely on the American security. Maybe Japan and South Korea should just get their own nuclear weapons. But he's widely accused of being prepared to pull the United States out of NATO. I think all these things would be good if the United States pulled its troops out of, you know, Europe and Japan and Asia, pulled its troops home. That would be a great thing. And I think, I don't know if Trump would actually go through with it, if he would do it, but he's the type of person who could do it and then, at least to his supporters, sell it as some sort of victory. Look, you know, we were defending these countries and they weren't paying for it. And so I said, look, if you're not going to pay for it, we're not going to defend you. You're on your own. So that, you know, that's what we've done. We're back home and we're not getting ripped off by the rest of the world anymore. He could sell it like that. Whereas, you know, the establishment would say, look, we're losing our position in the world. We're losing our prestige. But he could sell it as a win and at least get a lot of the American public to accept that. So that would be an extremely positive thing. If the United States pulled its troops back from outside our borders, that would be an extremely positive thing.
So we're in agreement that Trump will preside over the U.S. as it negotiates its way into the new world order? Into the international.
Into a realigned international order. Maybe I'll say that. That's one word out of three. One out of three ain't bad.
I like it. Realigned international world order.
Okay. Realigned international order.
If I can play that.
I'm going to get realigned international configuration. How's that?
If I can play advocate, if I can play devil's advocate to those that say Trump is installed, I mean, maybe Jewish power is, you know, acquiescing here.
People often write to tell us what has happened for them since starting Extendivite. Allow me to read a few. In 1 month, my blood pressure dropped significantly. I no longer get chest pain after exercise. It's amazing, and I ordered my second bottle. The reviews are spot on. My target is to get off BP meds, and if it keeps going like this, I see a light at the end of the tunnel. So far, a great product is what it claims to be. Great product. A few days in and I could feel a difference for certain. Not checking medical stats yet. I know this is really working by how I feel. We'll continue to take this product. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email ProudSouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
One of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs. For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for Hemp Paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
If I can play advocate, if I can play devil's advocate to those that say Trump is installed, I mean, maybe Jewish power is, you know, acquiescing here. And they're like, okay, we'll put him in power. Let's just get back into it. Let's just tap into the global finance again and, you know, go on with it. Because the Belt and Road Initiative is a thing. It's not going to stop. It's going on, and the U.S. is going to be out in the cold if they don't start to play ball.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. So some people say that everything's planned, that the Jews do all the planning and the Jews always get their way. That seems to be a theme with some people. And I don't know. I think that periodically the Jews overplay their hand, and things don't work out the way they wanted. And I think
that
we're
that's exactly the scenario I'm painting, is that they've overplayed their hand, and they're like, okay, fine, we'll put Trump in, and we'll just negotiate.
When they overplay their hand, there's two things they can do. They can realize they've overplayed their hand and then just try to make the best of a bad situation, which maybe that's what enough American Jews would do. Maybe you would have that. In Israel, they're overplaying their hand and they're going to go down. Things are going to go very badly. I don't know.
They're going to be brought to heel. They're going to be brought to heel. It's just a matter of how and when.
They're going to lose. I don't think they'll. I mean, already Netanyahu is saying we need total victory. Well, what's total victory? After all these Amalek statements and other statements from his people in his cabinet, total victory means getting rid of all the Palestinians in Gaza, at least, and turning it into some sort of Israeli Jewish beach resort, like Miami Beach or something. That's total victory. It's not going to happen. They're going to suffer a lot of losses, and they're not going to achieve any of the aims that they had been promised early on. So it's going to be a defeat.
Well, what better president to preside over that defeat than the most pro-Israeli president ever? I mean, he was in like the...
Biden says he's the most... He challenges anybody to be more pro-Israel than him. I don't think Trump was... Trump was maybe pro-Israel in rhetoric and in symbolism, but in substance, no. I don't think he was particularly pro-Israel at all compared to other presidents.
Isn't it a sad situation when our alleged leaders and governors are trying to tell us who's more pro-Israel?
It is. Go back if you want. We're running out of time, but go back and look at the Saturday, either the real debate between Joe Biden and Sarah Palin in 2008, the presidential debate, or the Saturday Night Live parody of it. And by the way, I mean, Tina Fey, she really had Sarah Palin nailed. But watch them, and which is more ridiculous? It's hard to say, because they were just struggling about who was more pro-Israel. That was what they were debating: who's more pro-Israel, or one thing, Senator Biden, I'm glad that you love Israel as much as I love Israel. Oh, we all love Israel. It was disgusting. But anyway, we're out of time. Thank you for joining me.
Thanks, Patrick. Thanks for staying classy and continue to do so, my friend.
Yeah, you notice I didn't say any off-color remarks about Tina Fey or Sarah Palin, so making progress.
I was just...
And I'll be back again. Yes? Oh, well, you can make the remarks.
I was disappointed. I was disappointed. Go ahead.
You were disappointed that I didn't make off-color remarks?
Yes.
Okay. Well... Too bad. And I'll be back again tomorrow with another exciting episode of Next Week's Radio.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Black Owl Coffee, and I started Black Owl because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.